We've been on a bit of a journey over the last few weeks talking about what it means to follow Jesus, because I think for millennia we've been all trying to figure this stuff out. Ever since the beginning of the church, since Jesus left, it's like, what does it mean to follow him now? Like, he's not here. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And today I actually want to look at something a little bit different. I want to actually look at the impact of the lives of those who followed Jesus. Actually look at the impact that it left on certain people after they decided to follow Jesus. And, you know, Bella just mentioned that generations are impacted because teenagers meet Jesus. But I want to actually look at a family in the Bible today. Family that were impacted, completely changed because they had a moment with Jesus and it changed them forever. Absolutely changed them forever. I'm going to be talking about a brother and two sisters. I'm going to be talking about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I want to open to a passage of Scripture, one of those moments in the Bible which I wish I was around for. Because when I read this passage, it's one of my favorite stories. We're going to open to this, and I want to sort of unpack this today and have a look. In particular, we'll be looking at both Martha and Lazarus, but mainly Mary, and how the impact of following Jesus changed her life for good. This is where we're going to start today. We're going to get straight into it. John 11, 1 to 45. A long passage. I was talking to Danny in the sound desk and said, strap in, we've got lots of scripture today. But this is a great story. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. I'm just going to leave that there for a moment, okay? With a side note, we're going to come back to that later. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days, and then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going to go back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I love how simple the disciples are. He's like, Lazarus is asleep. They're like, well, he could just wake up. He's, Lazarus is dead, okay? Very interesting. And so he says, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Can you see what's happening here? They've gone, we can't go back there. The Jews are going to stone us to death. Jesus is like, we're going to go back. And I love Thomas just throws in a line, let's go back so we can all die with him. Thanks, Jesus. I mean, following Jesus is very interesting. Continuing on in verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. You know, for context, Martha has seen Jesus' miracles before, okay? So that's why they've sent out to him. They've seen the blind have their eyes open. They've seen these miracles. They've been around him. And she's like, man, if you were here on time, you could have healed my brother. I've seen the blind, I've seen all this sort of stuff. And Jesus says to her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha answers, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she'd said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside, saying, the teacher is here and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Notice this again. Their faith in Jesus is really high. They've seen the miracles. They've called him back. He's got there late. They're all in mourning. And, you know, I can imagine the same feeling. I don't know if you've ever been through something like that. You're like, "God, if you just showed up in time, but you just missed it. You just missed it." We're going to kind of keep looking into this today. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he says this, "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days." Who wants to open the tomb? Like, it's like, oh my gosh. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." There's a zombie roaming. Right? This story is such an amazing story. Like, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. He needs a shower. And he's now being told by Jesus, "Go home. Go home." It's so interesting that the religious leaders at the time, you can go read this yourself, in verse 54, I'm just like, oh my gosh. The religious leaders heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead, and their instant thought was to plot to kill Lazarus. Truthfully, it says they go to kill him. Imagine Lazarus, he's like, "I've got a second chance." And they're like trying to kill him. This story. Jesus goes away from his good mates, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They leave. He leaves them. And then a few days later, he comes back to hang out with his once dead mate. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wage." It says he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief and he used to keep money from the money bag. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." This impact of Jesus. Imagine you're in the family with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You're now in a house having a celebration with your brother who was dead for 4 days. The impact is so overwhelming. And Mary's response, to pour oil on his feet. You know, I wanted to read this story this morning because it's a beautiful image of what happens when you spend time with Jesus. When you have a relationship with Jesus. As I mentioned, this story, two sisters, a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Right from the beginning of the passage, there's this moment though, I read it right at the start and I wanted to come back to this. I said, I'm going to come back to this. I want to talk about Mary this morning. In John 11, it says this, verse 2, "This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair." Now, I've always thought of these two stories as the same story. If you've been in church for a very long time, you've heard the story about the alabaster box broken on Jesus' feet, and so Jesus gets oil on his feet. What I didn't realize, and as I've never really had my eyes open to, this is the second time Mary does this. It's actually the second time. We actually know that Mary had a very jaded past. And there was a first time where she poured perfume at Jesus' feet. And it's actually found in the book of Luke. And it's a story of a sinful woman. That's what it's called, chapter 7. And there's this moment where Jesus is with the Pharisees. And he's in this Pharisee's house, in this religious teacher's house. And this woman just enters in and stands behind Jesus. I'm not going to read the full passage today because it's too long. But what goes on is this woman drops to her knees and cracks open an alabaster box and pours out oil on Jesus' feet. And the Pharisee can't believe this sinful woman is touching Jesus. And Jesus looks at the Pharisee and actually tells a little tale. Because she's a woman known as a woman that's a sinner. And this is what Jesus says. Simon, this is the Pharisee. I have something to tell you because the Pharisee is upset about it. He says, tell me, teacher. He says, I've got a story to tell you. He says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one that had a bigger debt forgiven. And Jesus says, you have judged correctly. Then he turned towards the woman. This was Mary. This is the first encounter of Mary with Jesus. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Man, my reading's bad today. Sorry, guys. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? I want to talk about this first moment with Mary, and I want to talk about where she lands at the end. This is the first moment. No one actually knows what Mary's job was prior to this moment where she meets Jesus in this religious leader's house and where she pours out oil and cries at his feet. But she gets forgiven by Jesus. For millennia, there's been conversation that Mary was a prostitute, that was her lifestyle and that's why she was a sinful woman. Others believe she might have had mental health issues. She was known to have many demons. In fact, in Luke 8, we know that this Mary is most probably Mary Magdalene. Because straight after this moment where this woman is forgiven, we read in Luke 8, it simply says that after this, Jesus traveled about one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. So very interesting. So this is Mary Magdalene. She's been set free by Jesus. But what's so interesting is as she's crying at Jesus' feet, Jesus forgives her. And this is why we believe she was the one that was set free of demons, is because he says, go in peace. She no longer, from that moment, experienced torment. Go in peace. I forgive you. Go in peace. It's quite an amazing thing. So now you understand that Mary Magdalene is now the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Makes perfect sense. Mary's set free. Now she's following Jesus. Her life is radically changed because of one exchange at the Pharisee's house. And today, I hope we're challenged by Mary's approach to Jesus. Her first interaction with him was pouring out everything she was. And her very last interaction with Jesus before the cross was doing exactly the same thing. Today, I want to look at her second experience of pouring out expensive oil, not because she was asking for forgiveness, because you see, sometimes we read this story where, you know, she's with Lazarus and everything. I've heard it preached, this idea that, oh yeah, there's Mary pouring out her oil at Jesus' feet, seeking forgiveness again. But the second time round, when she's with Lazarus, he's been raised from the dead, this is actually not a moment of forgive me, this is a moment of worship. A moment of worship. She poured out everything she had in adoration and thankfulness to Jesus for what he'd done. I wholeheartedly believe that, you know, her story can inspire us with a heart of worship. There's a couple of things I want to learn for us to learn from Mary today. and the way in which she approaches Jesus to begin with and how she ends up. The first thing is she has absolute faith in Jesus before she even meets him. She tracks him down because she's heard about the miracles he's been performing in her neighborhood. When she finds him, she brings a sacrifice, the most expensive thing she has, and pours it at his feet. She knew her life was a mess, and she knew that she couldn't make her life whole again. It was only Jesus that could do it. And as a result of going after Jesus, she finds her peace and restoration. Can I challenge us today? Go after Jesus. If you're broken and you're a mess, be like Mary. Go find him. And when you meet him, pour out everything. Leave everything at his feet. Second, she doesn't return to her old ways. But quite the opposite, we find her following Jesus on a daily with the disciples. Directly after this moment where she receives her peace, she's like, I'm never going back to whatever I was doing. I'm following Jesus. In fact, Mary was part of funding his ministry. She was quite wealthy and funded his ministry. Quite interesting. But what's amazing, as I said, the impact of Jesus doesn't just leave Mary whole. It impacts her sister and brother. I don't know if you've ever met someone who's met Jesus and then their whole family gets saved. Like their whole family gets saved. It's a beautiful thing. Last week I talked about my mate Bob. His sister Rhonda, when she got out of jail, when she met Bob again, she realized he was going to church. His life was changed. She says, I'm going to church too. Because she saw the change, the impact of what following Jesus did. I love it. Entire families are turned around. We actually don't even know the first time that Jesus met Martha or the first time he met Lazarus. But somehow they all became best mates. They became best friends. It was Jesus and his three best friends. These three pop up throughout the scriptures. It's really beautiful. Finally, I want to say that, you know, when it comes to being a bit more like Mary, in the moment, even when Mary couldn't follow Jesus, couldn't be with Jesus, she always knew where he was and always knew how to connect. Because she sent on messages to Jesus and said, hey, Lazarus, the one you love, he's sick. She knew where he was. She was always finding a way to connect. As I was reading this week, I was really moved. I don't know if you've ever read the scriptures and you've actually found yourself being really moved. Like, I can't explain it other than just, I was emotional as I read this story. As I read about this moment where Jesus goes back and he weeps for his friend Lazarus. But then as a result, Jesus raises him from the dead. I actually want us to all go read this week, this actual passage of scripture, because as I said, it's one thing for me to share scripture, but it's one thing for you to read it, right? And so we're actually going to put this up on social media, a whole bunch of things, so you can actually read this story. I love that Jesus chose this oddball family. He just chose these three that he kept on going back to hang out with. This moment where Jesus returns back to his friend's house 6 days before the Passover, it says Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at a table. And this is the moment where Mary pours out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. I actually think this scene is one of the greatest scenes in Scripture. A household where a member has died but come back to life. A party is thrown in honor of what Jesus has done. And Mary, who now has her brother back, is pouring out the most expensive of perfumes at Jesus' feet. Three broken, unsuspecting people in one household, all encountering God in the flesh. I love that they throw a dinner to honor him. And this week, I was asking myself a simple question because Mary gets it. Mary really gets what it means to follow Jesus. First and foremost, she poured herself out when she found Jesus because she knew she was broken. But now she's experienced the fullness of Jesus and she's still pouring out everything she has. This week I asked myself, when was the last time I got to the point of falling at Jesus' feet and giving him my everything with an overwhelming heart of thanks? I'm gonna ask that question again. I want you to think about it. Because I know a lot of you have been in church for a long time. okay, including myself, the question I ask myself, when was the last time I got to the point of falling at Jesus' feet and giving him my everything with an overwhelming heart of thanks? My most valuable possessions. When was the last time I've responded like Mary? When it comes to the passion I had for Jesus and what he's done for me. You know, yes, there are moments of passion and moments where I seek Jesus. We had the worship night on Wednesday night. And it was a beautiful night and we pour out in those moments. But I've got to ask myself, am I like Mary who continues to bring everything that I have? Because Jesus has restored me. Maybe you're sitting here and thinking, well, I haven't actually ever been like Mary because I've never actually experienced something like Mary. I'm sure if you had a brother or a sister that was dead for 4 days and a man came into town and then said, bring your brother out or your sister out and raise from the dead, you would actually be like, well, now I'm going to worship. Because it's very easy to read this and go, well, that's a really easy response to worship. And maybe you're sitting here and go, I haven't had Mary's experience, so why should I worship? Well, the truth is, this room is full of Lazaruses. I'm one of them. Everyone in this room that have accepted the message of Jesus has experienced being resurrected. Everyone that believes he died on the cross for their sins and have asked for forgiveness, repented of their past like Mary in this religious man's house, have experienced the same miracles of this family. Paul writes in Ephesians, this passage, he speaks of the fact that without Jesus, before Jesus, you're already dead. You're living in a spiritual death that stinks like a dead body after 4 days. Or maybe more. And if you listen to the call today to follow him, you too can come out of the grave and live again. This passage that Paul writes, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and follows its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. In this passage written by Paul, we get a glimpse of what Jesus offers every one of us, new life. He actually explained it to Martha. When Martha's like, yeah, I know that you're the resurrection. I know that you could, you know, he's going to come back one day in the future. And Jesus says to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though that they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she replies, yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. The truth is we are like Lazarus. Before Jesus arrived, we were dead, and maybe like a decaying body of 4 days in a tomb, our lives stank. But Jesus, in his grace and love, calls us out, come back to life, start again. It's time for a resurrection in your life. It's time for that resurrection. I was thinking back to when I was 20. As I read this, and as I said, I was really moved, so broken that I probably would have felt too ashamed to try and find Jesus, like Mary went after him. But go find him. I remember I went to a church service and I felt the weight of the world upon me, and I actually felt dead inside. And I was in this church because my family were there, but internally I was dead inside. I was like, if you only knew what was going on externally. And at the end of this service, I went up and this preacher came and prayed for me, and he gave me a word, and he said, he goes, I think, and he just told me my life story. It was wild. I'm like, you don't even know me. And he said to me, it feels like you're punching brick walls, doesn't it? You feel like you're hitting walls. You're not going to break through nothing. You're not going to get through. Hey, you're feeling like this is it. And he goes, as the wall's made of paper, breakthrough. It was just a prophetic word. I still remember it. And it was just like that. God hit me like a freight train. And from that moment, I broke out. He resurrected me. He called me out. I think why I was so moved this week is that I'm like, this is this woman who's known as a sinner, and God himself in flesh has actually decided to engage with her. But not just engage with her for a moment for her healing, he decides to connect with her whole family. And not only is he connected with her whole family, he becomes best buds with them. And then he's so moved while he's on ministry, he's away, he hears that his friend is sick. He's so moved that his friend is sick. It takes him 2 days to change his plans. Finally, he says to the disciples, we're going to go back. And they're like, why? We're going to die there. He's like, we're going to go back. And then they're like, oh, why? Oh, Lazarus is sleeping. What? He can wake up. He's dead. We've got to go. I've got to go see my mate. And he goes back and he raises a dude from the dead. And he doesn't just leave it there. He could have left it there. Everyone else would have told that tale. We'd still be talking about it, I'm sure. But he doesn't just stop there. Jesus, in his love for people and his friends, decides, I'm going back to visit him again. And he's sitting in the lounge room with his mate that was once dead, who is now alive again. And Mary is overwhelmed. She can't stop believing. She's like, my gosh, look what God's done for me. But look what he's done for him. My brother was dead. And then the most beautiful thing is, we hear of the resurrection story. Jesus actually gets taken away in the next 24 hours. As Jesus said, she held this perfume for my day. The day I was going to be crucified. This is my moment. And the first person we hear that Jesus actually reveals himself to after his resurrection isn't his 11, isn't his mates in ministry. He reveals himself to his friend Mary. He rocks up and reveals himself to Mary first. It says this in Mark 16. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. My gosh! He chose her. She went and told those who had been with him, who were mourning and weeping. The message, first person, goes to the woman that was most broken. And I sometimes wonder, I go, God, why did you choose Mary Magdalene to appear to? Why not the 11? Aren't they your mates? Aren't they who you've done ministry for 11, like these 3 years? Aren't these the ones that are most important who are going to do the good news and spread the gospel? But I wonder, maybe Jesus went to Mary because she was the one that had the heart that sought him most. First, she poured out everything she had. Please forgive me. I'm broken. I know you can change me. He says, I forgive you. Go in peace. And then finally, before his death, she does it again. But this time she's sitting in a lounge room with her raised brother and all she can do is worship. And she grabs the most expensive oil, a year's wage worth, and she drops to her knees and she pours it on his feet. And she doesn't care what people think because she knows the gravity of what Jesus has done for her. A woman front and center of God's great rescue plan for humanity. When women were not recognized at all. I think it's beautiful. It shows what Jesus is all about. Let's learn from Mary in following Jesus. Let's have our lives impacted like Mary's life was impacted. The first thing I hope we can do this week, we can learn from her full faith in Jesus. She tracked him down because she heard about the miracles he'd been performing in her neighborhood. When she found him, she brought a sacrifice of the most expensive perfume and poured it at her feet. She knew her life was a mess and she knew that he could make her whole again. And then it's a result of going after Jesus, she finds her peace and restoration, and she finds what she's made for. Second, she doesn't return to her old ways once she's found Jesus, but quite the opposite. She decides to follow him right through to the end. She was the one that was anointing his body with spices after he died, even though she knew he had the power to be resurrected. She was the first there at the tomb when the disciples were hiding in mourning. And even when Mary couldn't be with Jesus, she always found a way to connect with him. She knew where to go. She knew what to do. She found a way to make sure she was in connection with Jesus. I want us to bow our heads for a moment. So I want to ask a question to you today. Maybe you're here and you're like, if people describe me, they might say that I am a sinful person. That's my description. I'm a sinner, not worthy of God. Maybe people say to you that you're all sorts of things. And you, like Mary, know you're broken and you need to be restored. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Do whatever you can. Come to Jesus. He is the only one that can give you the peace you're after. If that's you here today and go, I want to follow Jesus. I'm broken. I'm here to say sorry, God. That's called repentance. And second, I've decided I want to follow you because I know the life you have for me is so much greater than the stuff that I'm doing right now. If that's you here today, come to Jesus. I want to pray with you. Don't do religion. Don't do religion. The religious people wanted to kill Lazarus. Don't do religion. You genuinely want to follow. Yep. Okay. God, for those who have stepped out and said they want to follow you, God, like Mary, they're leaving everything at your feet and they're saying sorry. They have a repentant heart. God, I pray that you forgive them. And God, I pray that today they can go out in peace again, knowing that you are the resurrection and the life. They no longer have to fear death because they know where they're going after this life. For those, God, that want to restart their journey, God, I pray that you'll meet them where they're at and call them out to the things that you have for them this year. God, I just pray for those that know that they need to lead their families of faith. Call them out of their caves, God. Bring life back into their faith, God. I thank you for the impact of the cross. I thank you for what you've done in my own life. Brought me back to life. God, for those that have faith to believe today that you are still alive and active, God, I pray that you would move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.